In the parsha, when the brothers throw Yosef into the boar, so it says in the pesukim about the boar, "Va'bor reik, ein bo mayim." And Rashi asks, if the boar is empty, why do you need to add on ein bo mayim? It doesn't have water. So Rashi explains, "Mayim ein bo avan nechashim va'akrabim yesh bo." It doesn't have water, but it does have snakes and scorpions. How does that actually read into the pasuk, though? Just say va'bor ein bo mayim, and then I also could have learned out the boar doesn't have mayim, and I'll infer from there. But it has snakes and scorpions. Why did the pasuk then say va'bor reik? It's empty. It's not empty. It's only missing water. I heard a pshat that in the pasuk itself, in the wording, you could see a little bit because the word reik here is written without a yud, so it's written without a yud. So it could be read rak. V'habor rak ein bo mayim. The boar, it only didn't have water, but it did have other things in it, snakes and scorpions. There's a gra in this pasuk that says that there's a hint here in the pasuk to the neshama of a person. And ein mayim el Torah. Mayim is referring to Torah. And when the boar is reik, when there's no water in it, then it has nechashim and akrabim in it. A neshama that's empty from Torah, that's missing from Torah, so he's going to be filled with snakes and scorpions in their place. And this gra made me remember a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says something about the Anshe Knesset Gedola that's unbelievable. It says that the Anshe Knesset Gedola felt at a certain point that the schar that we get for fighting the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah isn't worth the danger of falling under the trap of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Too many people were falling too intensely and running after doing Avodah Zarah. And therefore they fasted and they davened to Hashem that you should get rid of completely the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. And their tefillah was answered and the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah left us, and that's why we don't necessarily have a strong taiva to bow down to statues. The Gruss says something very interesting on that. He says that at the moment that the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was removed from Klal Yisrael, that's when Nevuah stopped. That's when there stopped being prophecy in Klal Yisrael. Because when you're going to take away from how far a person could fall, it's equally taken away from how high a person could reach. And from the same koach that comes the ability to have Nevuah and speak and communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, comes that ability in the side of darkness to run after Avodah Zarah. And if they're going to have to get rid of the Yetzirah for it, then the potential for Nevuah will also have to be erased. The Gemara goes on and it says, and then they want to get rid of the Yetzirah for Gili Arayos, for lust and desire. And they daven that it should go away, and their tefillah was answered. But then people stopped having children and chickens stopped laying eggs. And they realize that the world can't exist without a taiva for Arayos. So they daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return it, and he did. But the Zohar says something different, a different answer than the Gemara gives. And I think it's also asking a different question. And the Zohar, it asks, he says, okay, so why don't they daven that we shouldn't have a taiva except for at the moment that a person is with his wife, and then in order they should be able to have a child. But otherwise, there shouldn't be such a taiva. And the Zohar answers that if the Yetzirah for Arayos would be removed, so the ability to have simcha in Torah learning would also disappear. The ability to connect to Torah learning and be excited about it comes along with the desire for Gilei Arayos, and that's the positive end of the scale. So that same potential of connecting to Torah would be obliterated if there'd be no more Yetzirah for Arayos. Just like similar, I thought that we see over here that when a boar is empty from Torah, so then it's going to be filled in with Nachashim and Akrabim. In other words, a person has an emptiness and they could fill it with the potential for bad, or they could fill it with the potential for good. If Torah fills its place and a desire and a simcha in learning fills its place, then a person will have less desire for Arayos. And if a person isn't involved in Torah and removes himself from it, then all of a sudden his lusts and his desires are going to start to take more of a hold over him. There's a chazal that always bothered me, The greater a person is, the bigger gadol that a person is, the more of a talmid chacham, so he has a greater yetzahara. I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought that a great talmid chacham would have a weaker yetzahara because he fought it so much. What does it mean that he has a greater yetzahara? And I asked this to Rav Nevinson one time, and he answered that no, because he could handle it. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a stronger yetzahara. In other words, a yetzahara is really tremendously powerful. We really can't stand up against the Yetzirah at all. So Kadosh Baruch Hu just gives us enough of Yetzirah according to the strengths that we have that we could just beat it if we push ourselves. And then as a person gets stronger, he could give you a stronger and stronger Yetzirah to beat, because the purpose that we're in this world is to fight and to grow and to accomplish. And therefore, he keeps on giving us things that if we just push ourselves, we can accomplish. That's why a Gadol, his Yetzirah will be even stronger. And that's the parallel within each person. That the stronger your Yetzer Tov is, and you build yourself, so Yetzer Hara is going to pull equally in the opposite direction. And the Gra says on this idea something very interesting. He says that not only is this true about people, but it's also true within a person himself. If you see in yourself that you have a specific weakness, a specific taiva, a specific Yetzer Hara, so that also shows you that right over there is your potential for greatness. If you have a weakness over there, that means that's also where your strength is. You just have to start to move out the weakness and bring in the strength to fill its place. So too, says the Gra, when it comes to mitzvos. There are mitzvos in this world that if the world is lacking in it, is weaker in it, then we know that there's a lot of potential for growth specifically in that mitzvah. And he says that's also true with periods of time. The greater potential there is in a certain period of time, the Yetzirah that tries to make sure you don't use that special opportunity of time fights even harder. So for example, on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos, when the potential for connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu through Torah learning is so great, so the Yetzirah works so strong against this world that there's so much less Torah learning on Friday, on Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos, because he knows how powerful learning during that period of time would be. And so too we find with the different holidays of the year, and specifically the one that's coming up right now, Chanukah. How ironic it is that the very idea of what Chanukah is about and everything that we're celebrating, what we announce in the tefillah, every single Shemona Esrei, every time that we bench, we say, B'mei Matityahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol HaShemona Yevanav, Kesha'omda Malchus Yavan HaRasha'a. What did they want to do? The Greek governing Russia government? What they wanted the most was to make us forget our Torah learning, to stop learning and to stop keeping mitzvos. And everything that we're celebrating on Chanukah is the success and the victory, the miraculous victory that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Chashmonaim when they fought against a Malchus that was trying to get them to stop learning Torah. And the Yetzirah has the chutzpah to make it that sometimes around the world, there's less Torah learning on Chanukah because there's so many other things going on. And somehow it came about that yeshivas give some vacation days, when yet specifically this holiday was supposed to be meant to be a time that a person strengthens in Torah learning because there's so much potential in it to connect to Hashem specifically through Torah. The lights of the Chanukah candles are supposed to be reminiscent of the aura of the Torah. The psukim in Brachos, I'm sure one of your rebbeim quoted this by now. It says, "Va'aretz haita so vovo v'choshech ha'panei tahom." And the midrash says, "What's v'choshech ha'panei tahom?" Alluding to the darkness in the beginning of time, that was alluding to Gullus Yavan, the Gullus of Yavan that would be machshich the eyes of Klai Yisrael, that would darken the eyes of Klai Yisrael from their connection to Torah and mitzvos. And the psukim continue, "V'yomer lakim yihi or v'yihi or." And Yehi, says the Maharal, and Yehi, says the Gra, is the gematria of Kafhei, of 25. Then on Kafhei Kislev, starting from, and it's also the 25th word of the Torah, the word Or over here, Yehi Or, that the light of Chanukah is overcoming the Choshech of Bavel. And if that's so much of what we're celebrating, that's so much of what the power of Chanukah has within it, what chutzpah of the Yetzirah to specifically try to get us in that? Specifically try to involve us in activities that more sometimes resemble Yavan than it resembled the Hashmonaim who stood up and fought against them. The potential for growth in Torah learning on Hanukkah is so powerful, and that's why the Yetzer Hara tries to fight it so strongly. And one of the things we have to think about when we're making our Hanukkah preparations, what am I going to be using my time for, is think about the tefillah we ourselves are going to be saying over and over in Shemona Esrei and in benching, and whose side are we on? Are we on the side of Yavan, or are we side of the Hashmonaim? Are we on the side of Oskei Torah Techa, or are we on the side of the Zaydim, who the Oskei Torah Techa beat out? In the Sefer Chasidim, he says in the very beginning that there are some mitzvahs that are like a mace mitzvah. A mace mitzvah is if you see a dead body lying on the floor and it doesn't have anybody to bury it, there's a very strong mitzvah, you're chayev, to take care of that body because there's nobody taking care of it. And the Sefer Chasidim says that's true about mitzvahs too. If you see that there's a mitzvah or there's a period of time where the world is slacking in that period of time, or they're slacking off in that mitzvah, so look at that as a mace mitzvah. Nobody is taking care of it. You run after it and you raise it up and you're going to get the schar of everybody together. The schar that you can get for a mitzvah that the world is lax in is greater than you can get in the schar that everybody's doing that mitzvah. And learning on Hanukkah, which Hanukkah is all about, unfortunately, the world is a little bit lacks in it, and therefore when we grab it and we grab that mitzvah and we raise it up on a pedestal and work with it, so then the schar that'll come from that and the special heavenly help that we'll get afterwards and everything that we do is going to be unbelievable. There's a famous shla that in most of the yeshivas they hang up a sign and they quote this shla in the yeshivas on the walls of the yeshivas. So we don't hang up the sign, we have other signs hanging up over there, but the shla says that Im Kain Hayama Makadosha Ma'ela, he's talking about Hanukkah, Ru'uyim Biyoter La Smothers Torah Mi Bishara Yamim. Hanukkah is more befitting to have a smother, to be diligent and work hard in Torah learning than any other day during the year. And the idea of what the Hanukkah challenge was trying to do is to give us an outlet, an ability, something to push us to grab onto that, to hold onto that mitzvah of Torah learning during Hanukkah. The reason why I hung up all those quotes from Torah Tribe guys in all the last 7-8 years of doing this, to show you that every single one of the guys who did this didn't regret it. They enjoyed it. They felt better afterwards. They felt empowered. They felt happy that this was a turning point for them. Even until today, if you would call and you would ask them, what do you remember about the Hanukkah challenge? They get all excited and they'll be happy. They donate money for it because they're big supporters of it. And if every year a majority of guys are saying this over and over, those that did it are so happy, we'd be so negligent on our part to let that opportunity slip through our fingers and not grab it. There's no question in the world that a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if you look back on what you did in Hanukkah in your Shana Aleph, you'd rather your memory would be that you were learning a lot of Torah, that your memory is something else that it potentially, God forbid, could be. You'll never regret that you didn't do something negative over Hanukkah, and you'll always be happy that you did something good and that you grew from it. So we should all be zocha to make the right decisions, to plan our Hanukkah in the best way possible. Amen.